Psalm 92, verse 1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Today is Monday, November 21st. This is the beginning of Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving is Thursday, and Thanksgiving is one of my favorite times of the year. It's a time for food, a time for family, a time for friends, a time for football. But most importantly, it's a time for faith. It's a time that we set aside to say thank you to God for His goodness and His grace. But we also know that as Thanksgiving kind of kicks off the whole holiday season, December is the month of leading up to Christmas, obviously, December 25th, and so that's just the holiday time. And holiday time can be very tough for some people, especially if you've lost a loved one in the past, you know, year or the past few months. That holiday time really makes the pain of loss acute, and people can experience tremendous loneliness and sadness at holiday time. And the question is, how can those folks survive the holidays and not look at those holidays with dread, but with thanksgiving? Now, to help me as we talk about this important subject is my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. Dr. Chris Schroeder is the teaching pastor and the counselor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Dr. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Pastor Jeff, good to be here. I love Thanksgiving. I love this week. I mean, Thanksgiving is a great holiday, and so quick we oftentimes jump to Christmas before celebrating Thanksgiving. And I'm like, slow up. Let's celebrate Thanksgiving, because there's a lot of good. That's a great day and a great time for us.
That was always my favorite holiday as a kid growing up, because my aunt and uncle came in from Bel Air, California, and they would always come see us at Thanksgiving. Not at Christmas, but at Thanksgiving. And my uncle always bought us some special toy. We'd go to Toys R Us, and he said, "You can get anything you want." And so as a little kid, I mean, that's huge.
Toys R Us, like, I was telling my girls the other day, my 6-year-old and 8-year-old, about Toys R Us. They don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
It is sad. That was a great store for a kid.
Yeah.
But, you know, with my uncle always he would take us out to eat, and then he would buy us toys, but he'd always want to get me a haircut, which was brutal.
And was up with that?
I don't know. He was bald, and he wanted me to be bald. It was rough. As a little kid, I liked long hair, and he didn't like long hair, and so.
But it was worth it, because you got a toy, right?
Yeah, but then we would moan and groan about our hair looks terrible. So anyway, I survived that.
But you survived that holiday.
So Chris, you did a special class last Wednesday at our church called "Surviving the Holidays" to really help people that have gone through tremendous loss, lost their spouse or lost a son or a daughter, lost a loved one along the way, and they're really dreading holiday time.
Yeah, I mean, it is a really difficult time for people who have lost loved ones. I mean, there is great things with the holidays, and people look forward to the holidays, but there's great expectations. And when there has been loss around this season, it brings up some really painful times.
Well, I had talked to a dear lady in our church just the other day, and she lost her husband 9 years ago, and she just told me in just a moment of you know, real honesty, that she just struggles with loneliness, and you know, not just holiday time, but just in general. And she said, "That's why I got a dog, so I would have
some companionship,
and you know, you don't come home just to an empty, quiet house." And I think dogs can be really helpful in that regard. I remember one of the dear members of our church, Dr. Shields, he told me one time, and I think this is really true. He said, "I think God made dogs to teach people about His unconditional love."
Oh, yeah.
Because dogs are pretty good about loving you, even if you don't treat them all that well. They're just very faithful and loyal pets.
Yeah, I mean, just to have something around you in that time. But, you know, we talk so much about family and friends during the holiday season, and so if you have lost a family member or lost a good friend, it's just this painful reminder all the time, and that loneliness becomes so deep.
Well, it does. And, you know, David talked about loneliness. He experienced that in his life, and he said, "I'm lonely as a bird on a housetop." Let me pull up that scripture. He said, "I can't sleep. I lie awake. I have become like a lonely bird on a housetop." And he was in his prayer. This is Psalm 102. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me in the day when I call. Answer me quickly." You know, it can be, we've talked before about the dark night of the soul where God seems a million miles away. And David was hurting. The scripture doesn't really tell us what was going on in his life. But, you know, David's life was up and down, on the run from Saul, hiding in caves, that kind of thing. And so sometimes when he'd pray, he felt like God was far. "God, where are you? Why are you? I need you to be close to me." And David knew the Lord was with him. You know, he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He knew the Lord was there, and the Lord wasn't going to leave him. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me." But sometimes we feel the Lord's presence and sometimes we don't. And so, Chris, in those times when we don't feel the Lord's presence, how are we to handle that?
Yeah, it's one thing to feel alone, feeling like you don't have people around you, like family or friends, people that love you, and so you feel alone because there's not people around. But I think it's even worse to experience what's been called the dark night of the soul, to feel like God's presence isn't close to you. The good lesson that we can learn from David is that David is open and honest. So David pours it out to God. Even though he doesn't feel God's presence, he's very candid about that. I mean, throughout the Psalms, David says what he feels. He never turns on God and gets, you know, angry with God, right, and stays in anger with God, but he's open with God. And I think that's a good place to start when you're feeling lonely, when you're feeling depressed, when you're going through grief in the holiday season, is to be honest about it and just tell God the way that you feel. Tell him that you're not feeling his presence. He has promised that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us, that he's always with us. And so just because we don't feel his presence doesn't mean that that he's not there. He is there.
So, Chris, for somebody that has experienced loss in the last, you know, 10 months, 12 months, but this is their first real holiday season to go in. So let's say you lost your loved one sometime in 2022. So this is the holiday season. You go through all those firsts, like first anniversary or first birthday without this person. Now this is going to be the first Thanksgiving. It's the first Christmas. What would you say to them? How do they deal with the pain and the sadness that just kind of comes? It's almost like losing them again, right, for the very first time.
Yeah, don't try to avoid it. I mean, I hate that you have to go through that. And to be honest, the first year going through that may not be as hard as the years to come. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason. It could be the second year. It could be the fourth year that's extremely painful. But be very give yourself a lot of grace. Have realistic expectations about what the holidays are going to be like. Don't try to do too much. When people ask you to do things or to go to parties or events, give them a tentative yes. And then when you go, have an exit plan. Be ready to leave it at when you feel like you can't handle it anymore. Mm-hmm. So have some very realistic expectations and give yourself a lot of grace. It's painful, and it's very normal to be feeling that pain and be feeling just not knowing what to do in that season. Have those close people around you that you can share with, that you can be honest with, and you could say, "I'm hurting, this is difficult." I hope that you have those people in your life that you can go to, that you can talk to.
I think it's important also to remember that the Lord understands. You know, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. The scripture says, "But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." And so God understands when we're hurting, and he knows what that's like. I always think of Genesis 16 when Hagar, who was Sarah's maid, you know, Sarah said to Abraham, "Hey, we're supposed to have a son. I can't have any children here. Here's my maid. Go into her, and maybe that's the Lord's plan. Well, that was obviously not God's plan. And then Hagar gets pregnant, and then Sarah doesn't like it. She's jealous of her, and so she kicks her to the curb. And so Hagar is alone, pregnant, in the desert, and the Lord finds her, comes to her, and tells her, this is what you need to do. You need to go back. You need to submit. And she gives the name to the Lord, El Roi. You are the God who sees me.
Yes.
And the God who sees me, you know, there's a lot in there. You're the God who sees me. You're the God who cares for me. You're the God who provides for my needs. You are not only El Roi, the God who sees me, but you are Yahweh Jireh, the God who provides for me.
That's right.
So I think it's important for people to remember that. God knows, God cares. He hasn't forgotten you. He knows where you are, so you can share your heart with him. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
Yeah, I would encourage you to focus on who God is, not on what you feel, not necessarily on yourself, but focus on the character of God. The entire counsel of the Word of God talks about who God is. It's God's story, and it tells who what his character is. So focus on God's character. So if you've been a believer for a while, if you've been in the church for a while, think about those theological truths that you've been taught, those principles that you believe, and focus on those principles. Focus on who God is, the character of God. Just because you're going through the pain and you're not feeling it doesn't mean God has changed. He's still that same God.
Well, and also there's perspective. So if you've lost a loved one, you can feel the loss so tremendously and really focus in on the loss, as opposed to focusing in on, hey, you know, God gave me this child for 15 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, for 50 years, whatever it is. God gave me this spouse for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. He didn't owe that to me. That was all a gift. And so I think if I look at that, now I'm not saying that's easy. I'm saying you have to just discipline your mind to look at it that way. And, you know, as the scripture says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. You have to put that in the joy column, and you have to see that from the positive perspective, not the negative perspective. And so I tell people frequently, don't focus on what you've lost. Focus on what you have, and focus on all those wonderful times you had with that person that's not here anymore. And if that person's a believer, you're just separated for a time. As Amy Grant used to sing that song, in a little while we'll be with the Father. Yeah. Can't you see him smile? So we're going to all be together one day. It's just right now, our loved one's not here. Now, Chris, you and I both lost our dads, mm-hmm. and yours more recently. And so we've gone through that, and we've felt that sting.
Yeah, and you have to be in the reality. So the reality is you are hurting. There is pain. There is grief. And grief is a part of being human. Even Jesus had grief. You know, even Jesus, when Lazarus died, it says that Jesus wept.
Right.
You know, so he felt grief. So, and God feels grief. And so that's part of life. So we don't want to be in denial of our emotions.
Right.
The reality is it hurts. The reality is that it's painful. There's loss. And so the questioning, I see people sometimes get stuck in questioning the why. Why did right. this happen? Why did God allow this to happen? And you can get so stuck in that mindset of why. And so I encourage you to, it has happened, it's reality. So now deal with the pain and let God meet you right where you're at.
Well, I've always told people this, the why is not a great question because God doesn't normally answer that. Mm-hmm. God just says, trust me. A mm-hmm. Better question is how. Mm-hmm. How, God, do you want to use this in my life? Because we know Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So how, God, do you want to use this in my life? Well, I'm talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder, the teaching pastor and counselor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls as we talk about this subject, surviving the holidays. How do you look at Thanksgiving time and Christmas with anticipation if you've lost a loved one, if you're going through grief or some kind of serious difficulty in your life? So the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you about that. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back.
Did you know the abortion pill accounts for over 50% of all abortions? Preborn Ministry continues to stand with women in crisis in their darkest hour and bring hope and life. After Marissa took the abortion pill, she immediately regretted it, but Preborn was there for her.
Look at that baby. Look how beautiful he is. Look at that. Abortion pill reversal actually works. Let's hear his heartbeat. Oh, look how strong it is. Oh, praise God.
By God's amazing grace, this baby was saved, but many more need our help. To learn how you can be a part of rescuing babies' lives and sharing the heart of Jesus, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, we don't have to engage in psychological brainwashing techniques and all this nonsense that the left traffics in because they're godless, for the most part. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's how we fight.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, mm-hmm. but this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare. And here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. It's true, for the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people. But what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate when compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members now. They've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So yeah, they can handle your bills too. And here's the thing. If you join MediShare Complete right now, before November 30th, they will waive your new member fee. So you're going to save even more. MediShare is the gold standard in healthcare sharing. And joining right now makes a lot of sense. Again, pay no new member fees if you join now. And start enjoying great savings and a great way to handle your healthcare. Call now. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about surviving the holidays. How do you face Thanksgiving and Christmas time when you've lost a loved one and the holidays really bring the sadness, the loneliness back to the forefront? Chris, we were talking during the break about the role of the church. So how does the church figure into holiday time, and how can the church really minister to those who are hurting?
Yeah, I mean, we did do this event. We did a Surviving the Holidays event last Wednesday because we were thinking about those who are hurting during this season. And so I just encourage churches to not so much focus just on yourself and, you know, what the holidays mean to you, but there are people in your congregation that it's a painful time. Just be resonant of that, that there are people that this is not easy for them. And the church really, when we talk about it being a family, it truly is a family for people. Like, they see the church as a safe place. They see the church as a healing place. And so just be aware of that, that your church is a place where people are finding, they're finding hope, but they're finding a safe haven for them in this time. And so if you're a smaller church, of course, it's easier to do, you know, activities where you're all together and stuff like that. We have a lot of small groups in our church, and those small groups become like a family for mm-hmm. each other in this time. So the church has a huge role to play. Also think, you know, Christmas is the time, the greatest time of hope when we think about what God did through His Son, Jesus. And we have a tendency sometimes in the church to celebrate families so much and celebrate what a family is, to the point of sometimes being idolatry, more important than Jesus and what God has done through Jesus.
Yeah, it's a tough balancing act because just like on Mother's Day, you know, we celebrate mothers, and it's what about the person that wants to be a mother and can't be a mother? And so it's like, okay, well, we don't want to not celebrate mothers, but at the same time, you want to be sensitive. And so, yeah, I hear what you're saying with celebrating family, family, family. Well, what if you don't have a family?
Right.
And so that's why I think with—
just to be mindful of it.
Be mindful and, you know, let them know, hey, I know you're out there. I think, too, with singles, it's really, really important for them to be connected with other singles.
Yes.
So that they can have that sense of community. You know, we talk about that a lot in our church is, hey, if you just come to the big church service, it's really hard to get to know people. You have to take that step, and I know it's a tough step, but you have to get out of the boat and go to a class and be in a smaller group with 10 people, 20 people, 30 people, 40 people, whatever it might be, but to get to know folks that are in your same age and stage of life.
You have to put yourself out there. I mean, that takes a lot of courage to walk into that room by yourself, but at some point you've got to do that. You've got to put yourself out there because you need community. I'm just shocked so often in the counseling office how often people, when I ask them, who is your community? Who are your go-to people? And they don't have that. Right. They don't have friends or family they can go to. That's not the way that God called us to live. You know, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. We need each other. We need to encourage one another.
Yeah, and I see that more with guys than maybe girls. Guys tend to, especially if they lose their spouse, they're really cut off. Because women tend to just be better at connecting with people than guys are. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I would say that's true. But I am surprised also there is a lot of women that are in that same boat where you would think that they would have more friends socially, but maybe they've kept people at a, you know, at a distance, you know, at a superficial level.
Right.
And now that they're in a time of hurting, they need those closer, those real close-knit friends.
Well, we're taking your calls at 888-589-8840. Surviving the holidays. If you have a question or if you're dealing with some grief this holiday season, we'd love to talk to you about that. Also, Chris, what is the what do you think about people that are dealing with guilt at the holidays? Maybe they lost a loved one and they don't really feel sad about it, and now they're guilty for not, almost being glad that that person is not there. Maybe they were living in their home and it was so hard, and you know, a lot of times when you take in an aging mom or dad, or that can disrupt your home and be very, very difficult. So what about that person that says, you know, I feel so guilty about this?
Yeah, it's kind of like the death didn't just cancel out, negate the negative relationship, the negativity that was in the relationship, and the death actually might heighten those emotions. And now you have to deal with those emotions without the person there. And so that makes it really difficult. I would encourage you to maybe sit down and write a letter to that person that's gone. So obviously they're not going to get the letter, but it's very therapeutic. It's very healing to write a letter with your emotions, putting your emotions out there, your feelings out there. Because I just think it's all heightened now that the person is gone. Those reminders are really strong and they have to be dealt with.
Yeah. I still remember, don't know all the details, but it was a person that went to visit his dad in the hospital, and dad was in a coma, or so he thought, and this guy just poured out his heart to his dad and all, and the nurse was in there and kind of came in toward the end, and she said, after he got finished, she said, you know, I didn't want to interrupt you, but you know, your dad died like 30 minutes ago.
Oh, wow.
And she said, I'm so sorry that you said all that. You know, he couldn't have heard you. And the guy said, well, I didn't say that for him.
Yeah, that's right.
I said it for me.
That's right. You know,
I unburdened my heart. And so that's the writing the letter, even though that person's not there. You're not doing it for them per se. You're doing it for yourself.
I like that word that you said, unburdened. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like drinking the poison and expecting the other person to suffer. It's like, it's really for you. You know, getting that off your heart, bringing forgiveness where it's necessary. In recovery, we call it making an amends. So you have to make an amends sometimes to someone that can't receive it because they're not there anymore. But the amends is really for you.
Right. Well, it, you know, the Lord is really strong on forgiveness.
Yes.
You know, if you don't forgive men, then your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. And you can say, well, good night. Why is God putting that kind of burden? Because He loves you. And He knows that the bitterness will eat your lunch. It will. It's a cancer of the soul. It will destroy everything in your life. And I've seen it firsthand. When people get bitter, it's like, this is poison. This is going to poison every relationship. You got to let those things go. You got to get things right. You got to release those people that you're holding captive that have hurt you.
You got to do that daily. You've got to do that periodically. We've got to do that all the time, because that resentment, that bitterness just sits in our heart. It's like the Bible says, little foxes spoil the vine. Mm-hmm. It's all those little things that just add up. And it's just not a good way to live. It's not the life that God wants us to live.
No, Ecclesiastes says dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. And so those are some dead flies.
Yeah.
You got to get out of your oil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy. You know, when you've been seriously abused and wounded and somebody has done that on purpose,
mm-hmm.
Man, that's tough. Now, here's the thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you got to spend Thanksgiving with that person, per se. That person who's sexually abused you, physically, abused you. But it means you can't hold on to these bad feelings toward that person. You got to give them over to the Lord.
Yeah, you need to be around safe people. So even if they're your family, there may be family members that aren't safe for you. They're not good for you to be around. And so, just because it's blood, just because it's family, doesn't mean it's the best situation for you. So you've got to maybe put some boundaries up. And if, in those situations where there was something like that done to you, that's not a good idea to be around that person.
Well, and I think too, as we think about surviving the holidays and we think about people that are facing lonely times, and, you mentioned one dear lady in our church, that she's working Thanksgiving. And so she's going to go home to her apartment and she's going to be by herself. And, it's very easy to get lonely. Here's the wonderful thing for a Christian. You're never alone.
That's right.
The Lord's always with you. And so as my friend, when I was in college, Sean Breedlove told me, he said, his first job, he would be out of town a lot. And he said, I didn't have any Christian community when I'd be on the road. And I was just with these people that were my work associates, but they weren't like friends. And he said, I think the Lord did that so that he would really teach me how Jesus is my best friend.
Yeah, and that's such a good point. In those times of grief, in those times of loneliness, if you turn to the Lord and you really focus on who God is, you really use it as a time to get into God's word, even though when you are grieving, and I mean really grieving, it's difficult to read scripture because the mind becomes almost mush sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So worship music really helps. Listening to worship music throughout the house. I know in times of grief for myself, I've had just worship music playing 24 hours in my house. And it just helps your mood, helps your spirit so much.
Mm-hmm.
And God will be close to you. He will show up in those times and He will draw you near to Himself like never before in those times of grief.
Well, and think about the Lord Jesus. So, his trusted friend in whom He ate bread lifted up His heel against Him. That was Judas, betrayed the Son of Man with a kiss. His number one disciple, Peter, denied that he even knew Him. That's at the Lord's lowest point, and He needs somebody to stand up for Him. And Peter, the guy that he called the rock, just crumbled.
Mm-hmm.
And said, cursed and swore, I don't even know the man. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and that was a look of wounded love. And so Jesus knows. He's a man of sorrow and acquainted with griefs. He knows what it's like to feel those feelings, to experience those feelings of abandonment and being alone. His Father was always with Him, but we need the horizontal relationships too. And so that's where, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows what that's like. And so He's able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. And I think, we sometimes we don't see the the grief and the feelings of grief as temptations, but it's a temptation to really fall into a deep well of depression and pity party and woe is me and all those things that are contrary to what the Christian life is supposed to be.
Yeah, and you'd be tempted to numb your mind, to numb your brain from the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to do that. You want to live in reality and turn to the Lord. And then on the other side, we were talking about church and those people that are alone on the holidays. That would be a good thing for the church to do is people in the church, find out who the people are that don't have somewhere to go for Thanksgiving and Christmas and invite them to your house, make them a part of your family. If we really are a church family, then we can act like a church family in this holiday season and really invite people to be a part of your own celebration.
That would be awesome. So the number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'm talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder, and we're talking about surviving the holidays, how to face the holidays. If you've experienced loss, how can you still face the holidays with joy and with excitement? And that's not easy, but it is doable in Christ.
Yeah, and let's just focus on what Christmas really is about. I know it's been commercialized by our nation, our society, but it's about God sending his son Jesus, you know, into a hurting world. It's all about hope. I mean, Christmas is all about hope and what God has done through Jesus. And so you have an opportunity in your time of loss and your time of pain to really, truly focus on the real meaning of Christmas and what God did by sending his son Jesus. And so, yes, all the presents and the Santa Claus and all those things are great, but that's not the meaning of Christmas. And so at your part where you've been stripped and humbled and you're grieving, Christmas can become very real to you. And he came for the shepherds. You know, he came to the lowly. And so that's a great opportunity for you to meet Jesus.
Yeah. And as you said, Chris, we don't want to get Christmas too far in advance because we want to focus in on Thanksgiving.
That's
first.
Right.
Here's something that you can do for this week, for Thanksgiving. You know, think about the people that have really made an impact in your life over the years. You know, maybe go back to even to a third grade teacher, a coach in junior high or something like that, and contact that person.
I like that.
Send that person an email or call them. Just let them know how much you appreciate them. That goes a long way in doing a work, not just in their hearts, that they get this call out of the blue.
They would love that. Yeah.
Yeah, they'd love it. But it does something to you because you know that you are a blessing to somebody else.
Oh, I love that.
And so that can be a great, great thing to do. Well, we have Allison on the line from Dallas, Texas. Allison, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. I actually live east of East Dallas, so in East Texas, and it's a little slice of heaven, and I'm thankful for your ministry, and I actually was pretty amazed at your program being started around the time that my husband was in the hospital due to COVID, and he passed away, unfortunately, on March 31st of this year, so this is the first holiday season I'm having to navigate without him. We had a son together, just our one and only, and he's six, and much struggling with a lot of the numbness in the mind and just sense God's nearness, even in the worst valley of my life, I saw God move in a powerful way. I mean, I heard the voice of Jesus, so I know that his faithfulness is good. I know that I'm supposed to take every thought captive, but I'm really struggling to experience that joy again. And I don't know why it's just all piling up right around this time of year. I mean, I get that it's the holidays and it's just one more thing to have to go through. But I know it's like my brain knows what the truth of God's word is, but my heart is having a hard time believing it right now.
Yeah.
So I just need some prayer.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Allison. Chris, we got just a few minutes or about a minute before break. Can you pray for her?
Yeah, Heavenly Father, we just lift Allison to you. We pray that you will be so real to her, that you will comfort her heart right now, that everything that she's going through, that she's surrendered to you, and you be closer to her than a brother, that you be so real to her at this time. We lift her son to you as well. We pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Allison, we'll keep praying for you. We have resources too online at fromhisheart.org. We'd love to get those to you and to minister to you. But thank you so much for calling in, and may the Lord be so real and wrap his arms of love around you, especially at this time. Were you listening to Real Truth for today? We're taking your calls, and we have Dee on the line that we'll take right after the break. Don't go away.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
This is Bible League International, urging you to support our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Pastor Roos's three children were kidnapped and murdered by a terrorist cell that hates Christians. Instead of retaliating, the church shared the gospel with neighboring villages, and would you know it, 200 have come to Christ. Some of those affiliated with that terrorist cell, they're praying for Bibles. And elsewhere, Ephraim's store was destroyed in Cairo, Egypt, by radicals opposing the Christian tracts that he displayed on the counter of his convenience store. He has no money to rebuild, but he has shared the gospel with those who persecuted him, inviting them to Bible studies in his home, and over 100 have come to Christ in the Middle East. They're praying for Bibles. Our goal is to bless 16,000 Bible-less persecuted believers with their very own copy of God's Word. We're a third of the way there, so at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20 in this season of giving. Would you pray about it and then call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org. Send Bibles Now.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, Dr. Chris Schroeder and I are talking about surviving the holidays. How do you look forward to Thanksgiving and Christmas time when you've experienced loss? And the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, and we'd love to take your call. We have Dee on the line from Florida. Dee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate what y'all are bringing and information and knowledge. It really helps. It does. And we appreciate you doing that.
Thank you.
What I wanted to ask is, y'all mentioned the dark night of the soul. And from what I know about it, which isn't a lot, it seems that it's a period of time that you go through where God feels distant and like you can't connect with him. How do you endure that when that becomes 20, 30, 40 years of your life consistently? You don't experience his presence. You don't experience his comfort. You don't experience his joy. I know that he's there because he says he's there, and I know he's true, and it's true whether I can appreciate it or not, but how do you go from there when you just live that way for prolonged years and decades?
Okay, so Dee, you're certain about your relationship with Jesus, that you've really surrendered your life to him?
As far as I know, I have, but there again, that is exactly one of the problems. It leaves a question about salvation. Am I really saved? I truly believe everything about Jesus Christ and what he did in the scriptures, but, you know, when you don't have joy and the peace and the presence, it's like, well, are you saved? So I question my salvation, and it drives me crazy. And I'm scared to death. I don't want to go to hell. I've experienced a form of it because I don't have any family or friends. I'm totally isolated and alone, and I'm hurting very bad. So I can only imagine it's just an absolute drop in the bucket of what hell's going to be like.
Yeah. Well, I would encourage you this way, Dee, and I'm so sorry that you're going through that. Okay, so if I was struggling, not sensing the Lord's presence, and remember, we don't seek for a feeling, although feelings are nice, we seek the Lord. But here's the thing. So if you're not sure that you've really surrendered your life to Jesus, I would say, Lord, if I've not done this right, then I choose this today. I'm gonna nail a stake in the ground, and today I'm putting my faith and trust in you. I'm not holding on to sin. I'm turning from sin. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross for my sins. You rose again from the dead, that you are God in the flesh. And I put my faith and trust in you. Change me from the inside out so that I can know you and have a personal relationship with you. I would nail that down and just say, Lord, if you're already in my life and I'm just doubting, then show me that. But if this is the first time I've ever done that, then show me that this is the beginning of my relationship with you. I think that is the first thing to do, because if you've gone for that long where you've not experienced his love, his joy, his peace, his presence, that's a strong indicator that maybe the Lord is not in your life. Chris, what would you say to that?
Yeah, Dee, I'm so sorry also that you're going through that, and I pray that you will have a breakthrough in your life. There is a condition that I've studied a little bit, that I've counseled a couple people with, called religious scrupulosity, that really Satan just attacks the brain and really causes someone to doubt their salvation, doubt their faith. I would encourage you to, if you could find a biblical counselor around you in the area where you live and really go to work on this, I would think that there could be some breakthrough in your life.
Yeah, and the other thing, Dee, and I know this is probably hard, but you desperately need people in your life. You need the love of a local church, and so I would just encourage you to find a place that is a solid Bible-believing church that you could build community in, because, hey, God didn't create us to do life by ourselves, and we need other people. So just know that we'll be praying for you. And as I told Allison, fromhisheart.org has lots of resources and messages and written materials and things like that available for free that we would love to get with you. And as Chris had said earlier, fill your home with praise music. And God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22 tells us that. And let that just permeate your home so that you hear the praises, and it directs your heart, your spirit upward. And so you're not just looking around at all the circumstances. But I appreciate so much you sharing and being so honest, and we'll be praying for you for sure. Well, we have Robin on the line from all the way from Rochester, Minnesota. Robin, we've been praying for you, my brother. How are you doing?
Hey. Good morning, Brother Jeff, Brother Chris. Miss you,
Robin.
All.
Yeah, so you're waiting for a heart transplant.
Yes, sir. The 5 days wait, and I just wanted to kind of give out a word of encouragement that, devil's tried to get in my head a little bit, but when I pray about it and turn it over to God, I have never been in so much peace and reassurance that, you know, he's with me. I mean, he's had this plan since before I was born. And I mean, I'm just so at peace with everything that I mean, everything's lined up for the good of him.
Amen. Are you now? I was told just a few days ago that you're getting real close.
Well, they put in a pump in my aorta now that's helping my heart function, and it's just waiting, waiting for the right heart to come along.
Okay. So we'll be praying.
Got it's all in God's plan. He knows he's got the heart ready. It's just in his timing. So.
Yeah. And Robin, how old are you?
60.
Okay. Chris and I were talking back and forth. We said, I think Robin's probably 50. He looks young.
Jeff said 75. Just kidding.
I'm right there with you, Jeff.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, well, Robin, keep us posted on everything because we want to, as a church, be praying for you as you await your heart transplant. And then once you get the heart, you're there at the Mayo Clinic then for another 90 days?
Three months, yep.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but encourage people, too, for the holidays. I mean, I'll be up here for the holidays, but there's always something to look forward to.
Yeah.
God never leave you or forsake you. So.
Amen.
Faith and trust in him will get us through.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you for that word, Robin, and thank you for calling in. God bless you, my friend. Well, we have Edward on the line from Mississippi. Edward, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call here. I've listened to you for many years on AFR, and you're just a blessing in my life here through your ministry.
Thank you.
Yes, I just was listening to Allison, a previous caller, and I'm in a similar situation here. I had a great marriage for 22 years, and my wife struggled with bipolar, and I never saw the depression side of it that bad, but in the middle of January, the depression hit. And she ended up taking her life the last week in January of this year. And it's been tough. I'm just dreading Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's always been the favorite holidays of my year. And I've been through a grief share program, a 13-week session here locally. And that's helped a lot. And had some other counseling and getting involved in some church activities. I've had to change churches here just from the grief and the memories, but I'm pressing on here. We have two children, and they're taking it pretty hard, but God's grace is sufficient, and we're going to get through it. But I would just encourage anybody to keep the faith, and when times get really, really tough, just call out on the name of Jesus and just rely on God's strength, and keep talking to friends, neighbors, and relatives, and Christian brothers and sisters to help you get through the really, really tough times.
That would be extremely painful. How old are your children, Edward?
They're 20, and our son is 16. Our daughter, 20-year-old, just got married a few weeks ago.
Wow. Chris, what would you have to say?
Edward, it sounds like you're doing a lot of right things. I mean, you're getting involved in church, and you're going to Grief Share, which is a great ministry, a 13-week ministry to help people through grief. And everything that you're feeling is normal. The emotions that you're going through are normal. And this will be a difficult holiday season, just having that expectation that it will be difficult. Remembering that Jesus said in this world that we will have trouble, but to take heart, for he has overcome the world. And I just think you're doing a lot of right things, and this will be a really difficult holiday season, but there's good days to come. I mean, you really can't hold on to hope that there are good days to come. You keep fighting on, you keep going through this, and there will be better days.
Well, I was thinking too, Edward, as you were sharing, I preached just last Wednesday about the dark night of the soul, and I was talking about J. Hudson Taylor, who was the missionary to China. He started the China Inland Mission, and at the turn of the century, 1800s to the 1900s, there was a Boxer Rebellion, and it was against the Christians in China and against the missionaries. And so so much of what he had worked for had been destroyed and so many of his friends had been murdered. And he had this statement. He said, "I can't read, I can't think, I can't even pray, but I can trust." Mm. And so his heart was so shattered that, Chris, as you were saying, you know, it's hard to think. Mm-hmm. Your mind just turns to mush, and reading the scripture, it's just like, I'm just so overwhelmed with grief, I can't even do that. But I can still trust the Lord, and I can still look to heaven. And I don't understand. You know, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And the key verse in the book of Job. And so nobody wants to go through the dark night of the soul.
No.
But those dark nights do come, and they come in degrees. You know, I mean, what J. Hudson Taylor had, what some other people have experienced, Edward, what you've experienced in not only the passing of your wife, but
through that means,
you know, yeah, with suicide, that's just extra painful. So how can we pray for you?
Just pray for strength and healing, and to be able to get through the holidays and through this winter.
Yeah. All right, my friend, we'll definitely do that, and we're going to be praying for Allison, and we're going to be praying for Dee. And so if you guys would want to talk more, because it's hard to have long conversation, obviously, on the radio, but please contact me at fromhisheart.org. The email is pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org, and I'd love to minister to you any way I can, and we'd love as a ministry to minister to you and as a church to minister to you. And so we care about you, and the Lord cares about you, and he knows and he cares, and he is El Roi. He is the God who sees you. He knows what you're going through. He hasn't lost your address and your phone number and your situation in life. He knows and he cares, and you can trust him.
And I like what Robin said. You know, Robin talked about how God was in control. That's a good thing to remember, is the sovereignty of God, to know that he is in control. There's a great comfort in knowing that things aren't happening by luck or chance,
right?
But there is a creator who is orchestrating things on our behalf, and we don't understand. There's a lot of things that we don't understand. I think we waste time when we try to understand things that only the divine can understand. But knowing the theological truth that God is sovereign is very comforting.
Right. And so there's a little phrase that is so important. So truly he is good, 2 Chronicles 7:3, truly he is good, truly his loving kindness is everlasting. We can know that we know that we know that no matter what happens in life, God is good and God loves me. And remember this, nothing comes into your life or my life that doesn't first filter through God's fingers of love. So just like with Job, he didn't understand what was going on. But the devil couldn't do anything against Job until God allowed him
to do it.
God has to give him the green light. And if God gives the devil the green light to come at you, just know he has a purpose in that. And so he wants to use that to help us grow. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, what does that do? It produces endurance. Hey, Andre Crouch used to sing that song, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. Chris, any last thoughts?
I would encourage, just one last thing, is to read Psalms. Psalms are so encouraging. You know, it's hard to focus on a lot of things, but Psalms are worshipful and helpful to the soul.
Right. And what I do a lot of times is I get the Bible app and I just let the Bible read to me.
Yeah.
And I was playing golf the other day and just was listening to the Gospels as I was playing. And it didn't help my golf game, but
probably
it
probably helped your attitude.
It helped my attitude, yes. And so, Alan in North Carolina, sorry we didn't get to you today. You've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And I look forward to being back with you tomorrow. Dr. Chris Schroeder, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you.
Hey, go out and shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.